When I was 4 years old, we moved to a farmhouse down about 2 miles outside of Mineola. And my dad began to work for another farmer there. And not too long after we were there, Mom and Dad bought me a little puppy dog. It was a little, I don't know, fox terrier, rat terrier. It was one of those. And named it Tiny. And so there's, you know, the dog is a little puppy and he grows. And so we decided, you know, rather than having a bunch of little puppies around, better take it to the vet and have it neutered, spayed. I used to think spade was, because we used to use spades to dig in the ground. I always thought that's the way you spelled it. Anyway, while on the operating table, being spayed, my little dog died. And right afterwards. And I actually saw the operation. Because of that, my dad decided to do something else. And so he took me to the sale barn. Some of you might remember many, many years ago up on 8th, not 8th, but about 10th and Avenue G was a sale barn. And we went up there, and they had some horses come through. And here was this little pony came through, a little Shetland pony. And it was sick, didn't look too good. But my dad had an eye. And he bid on that horse and bought it and took it home. I don't know where the saddle came from. Anyway, there was a saddle, and we took that horse home. 4 years old, horse had never been ridden, never been broken. I didn't know this till a few years later, but actually Dad broke that horse with me on its back and just gently trained it and didn't do the horse whisperer thing, but I think he whispered in the ear and said, "You better not buck my son off or I'll beat you in the head with a 2x4," and so the horse listened. The only thing about Shetland ponies, they're mean. They belong to the Wolverine family. They're mad at everything. And if they're a stallion, and he was a stallion, they're mad because none of the girl stallions will look at him. They're just they're upset. And so anyways, I had a lot of accidents with that horse. I remember one time I was by myself. I was in the side yard somewhere, and I was riding along in an area I shouldn't have been in. There was some fence posts, and so the area was just kind of narrow where the horse had to walk. And so here was the fence next to me, and gotta understand, this is an old hog wire type fence. And this pony, he had this mean streak that was 3 miles wide. And anyways, we got close to that fence, and he decided that he was going to get closer to that fence than we wanted to. And he put me up against that fence and began to just rub my leg hard against that. And a part of that old fence was sticking out just enough, about a quarter of an inch. It caught my pants leg and tore my leg wide open. And I had a thing about so long. In those days, you didn't run to the doctor and get stitches. Mom just believed that, you know, patch it up. Didn't matter if you got a scar, big deal. So what? That made you a man. I was told these things. And I was there. And so I had this horrible thing. I wasn't as upset about that as I was. It tore my brand new jeans. They were brand new. And so she fixed me up, put a couple band-aids on that thing. And my mom loved methylate. Methylate will cure anything. If you're complaining about having an ache or a pain, let your mom put that on. You won't complain about it any longer because you'll shut up because she'll put some more on if you don't. And so got that and got a new pair of jeans on. And my mother was so kind. She had some wisdom. And go back there and ride that horse. Last thing I want to do in this world. That mean thing, it just tore me up. And she wanted me to go back and, you know, get on that horse and show who the boss is. Well, I already knew who the boss was because he'd already taken me up against the fence and tore my leg up. But I also knew who the boss was in the house. And, you know, it's kind of like the story that Steve Ziner said, "What do you do? She's got the gun." And so I went out and rode that horse. God was trying to teach me something. Book of Proverbs, chapter 24, there's a verse that really talks about this. In verse number 16, notice what it says. For a just man falleth what? Seven times. Isn't that something? A just man falleth seven times. It doesn't stop there. And riseth up again. Riseth up again. But notice the next part of that too, because it's important for us to realize this. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And when he's talking about falling into mischief, he's talking about here being caught up in it, never to get out, but by miracle. And so what God's teaching us something here, and that is you can't keep a good man down. You know, you're going to have some things in life that's going to knock you down. Amen? You're going to have some things that are going to just absolutely put you on your back. But there's something God wants you to do. Get up. Get up. Get up. Count on one thing in life. You're going to fall. It's going to happen. You know, if you're raising children and you're going to teach your child to walk, you let go, they're going to fall. They're not going to learn how to walk until they do fall a few times and they get determined enough they're going to make it through life. And so it just happens. But listen very carefully. How you react to failure will tell us what kind of metal you are made out of. Several years ago, I saw a man mess up a note in music. And maybe a couple of them, I don't know. And he never, ever did music publicly again. This morning, I saw Lindsay, and I heard her saying to somebody, the third note? You missed the third note. There's a difference between missing and okay. Okay, that's all right. You hit the wrong key. Okay, if I played the piano, they'd all be the wrong keys. And so she hit the wrong. You know what she did? Since it was only the third one, she started over. And did a tremendous job. Really, I remember when she got done, resounding amens, and it was a blessing. And I think one of the blessings was because many of us understood she didn't quit. Okay? And one of the great things is, hey, listen, you're going to mess up. I was saying something to Christine about a while ago, and I said, do you ever do that? And she says, oh, my first, what do you call that, recital? And a competition thing, and she missed a note or two or something. More than that? And she began to cry. And she cried the rest of the way through the song. And she said, my mom said, I don't even know how you saw to play the piano because there were so many tears coming. But what, she messed up the very first time? Well, you keep going, you get back up, amen? And what is she today? A very accomplished musician and has tremendous talent there. What I'm trying to say is, we fail. We don't always meet our expectations, but we keep on going. The Lord rewards faithfulness, not perfection. By the way, God is the one who perfects us. That's His work. Our job is to just keep on going. Our job is when we fall down is to get back up. That's our job. And to stay faithful and keep at it. I think of the Apostle Peter. One night he was fishing and it was a failure. He didn't catch anything. Now, I understand that. I can relate to that. Okay? And he fished all night. He didn't catch anything. And what happened? The Lord meets him on the shore. And the Lord's not a fisherman. What was his trait? He grew up in a carpenter's house, didn't he? And the Lord said, hey, go back out there and throw the net on the other side. Now think about that for a moment. Really, I mean, be serious for a moment. Here's a boat. I don't know how wide it was, but I don't think it was too awful wide. Let's say it was 6, maybe 7 feet wide. And he's been fishing, and the Lord says, throw the net on the other side. What's the big difference? I mean, seriously. And who's this guy? Well, he's the Lord, I understand. And what did Peter do? Peter threw it on the other side. He'd been a failure all night, and here's this guy that tells him, put it on the other side, so he does it. And what did God do? God gave him a great draw to fish as a result of that. I think of the night the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and again we find Peter. What did Peter do? Just like the Lord said, he denied him three times before the cock crew twice. And the Bible says that when he remembered that, he went out and he wept bitterly. But you remember the story. We just preached on it just recently too. What happened? Peter then, not very long after that, was told by the Lord, "Feed my sheep." Wow. And so here is one who failed, and yet he got up. A righteous man falls seven times. And what's it say there? Rises up again. Many folks never fall because they don't step out. They don't get anywhere because they fear failure. They fear trying. And I believe there's a couple of tremendous enemies that are there. One of those, I'll just label it right off the bat, it is pride. Too many of us are afraid to try in the ministry or anywhere else that God has given us because we are afraid of failure. We're afraid of what people might think if it doesn't go as it ought to. Listen, you will never fail a piano solo if you don't try. Isn't that true? Neither will you ever be an accomplished musician. These things, I mean, it's going to take place in life. And so you're going to have some things that are going to come along. You know, a lot of you folks, you're scared to death. Get your photo taken. If somebody comes with a camera, you put your hands up. You know, have you ever looked at pictures with hands up? It looks like you really look weird. You present your face to us all day long. It's right there. And now we put a camera up and all of a sudden it's like this. Why don't you walk around like that all the time? Because you're afraid that little steel thing that they get done with is going to make you look bad. Well, so what if it does? It might give somebody a laugh. So what if it does? Maybe they need a laugh. Maybe we need to be able to laugh at ourselves once in a while. I think tonight that we can stop and say this. A lot of things don't get done in the ministry because we're afraid we will fail. There are folks sitting in the sound of my voice right now. God has some things for you to do, but you're not doing it because you're afraid you won't do it very well. You're afraid that you'll fail at it. You're afraid that it just, you won't look good when you get done with it. And so we're afraid to step out and to do. And we've got to get over that. We've got to understand that a just man is going to fall. But what does he do? He rises up again. We ought to learn from our mistakes. I was telling somebody this morning, I just simply get amazed at this. David numbered the people. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was just supposed to trust God for what armies they had. But he wanted to know how many they had. Joab, his general, said, "You shouldn't do that." They had an argument about it. And David said, "I want you to number the people." He goes out and he numbers the people. And what happens? God comes to him through the prophet and he says, "Judgment is coming because you were disobedient." And he gives him three options of what he wants him to do. And so he says, "I'm going to fall in the hands of God rather than my enemies." And so we find the death angel goes out and people begin to die. And there comes a point where the death angel stops. And it's very interesting because it stops at the house of Aranu. Aranu is a man who owns a threshing floor. And this is a place where they would take their wheat, they would take their grain, and they would throw it up near, and after they crushed it a little bit and allow all the bad stuff to float away. And he says, "I want to buy your threshing floor." And Aranu says, "No, I'll give it to you." He says, "No." He says, "I'm not going to do something for God doesn't cost me something." Quite a lesson for us there. And what does he do? He buys a threshing floor of Aranu. And he builds an altar to God. Do you know what the threshing floor of Aranu became? The location of the temple. Out of a failure of David, God raises up the temple. Think about that for a moment. You see, God can do some tremendous things. in our lives if we just we step out. Oh, we're going to do some things wrong, but we ought to learn from them, hadn't we? And we do something wrong, what do? We ask God to forgive us and let God do what He's going to do and let Him bless. But so much does not get done because we're afraid we're going to fail. Well, we're afraid to talk to people because we're afraid they might laugh at us. I'll give you one, just a very, very recent one. Last night I was asked to go up to the hospital. And my doctor for the last couple years, his name is Cedar. And of all the doctors I've had, he's one of the best in my life. He found cancer on Christy and saved her from some very, maybe even her life. And done some things with Jeff and others in the family. And I've just really learned to love him. I've talked to him a little bit about spiritual things. And anyway, that's a long story. His nurse actually contacted Christy, and through it they asked me to go. I wasn't feeling good. I didn't want to go. And my first reaction was, what will they think of me? I think I even said something like that to you, Christy. What are they going to think? Here's a strange guy comes walking in, and here's all the family there. They're in the last moments of their dad and their husband and so forth passing away. And I tried to talk my way out of that. And it was like God says, no, you go. I'll open the way for you. Prayed on the way up, and it was miraculous what God did and what He allowed in those few moments, and just some very neat time with the family and so forth. Had prayer with them and wasn't there a long time and then left. By the way, Dr. Sater passed away last night. And from a couple of things she said, I'm hoping He's in glory tonight. But you know, we don't do some things sometimes because we fear what people think. We just fear it. What's the problem? We have an enemy's pride. Another one is double-mindedness. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, we're not single in our mind. The Bible says in the book of James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And you and I, we have one foot in the world, we have one foot in the spiritual world, and we look both ways. And so often we're trying to accomplish this, and we're trying to accomplish that. And so here we are in this double-minded position, and we don't get things accomplished. I think of the Apostle Peter once again. He's a fisherman, and the Lord Jesus says, throw it on the other side. He had one thing in mind. It was fish. He was willing to try anything. I mean, fishermen would do all kinds of things if they think it would bring fish. I put my hat on backwards. When I was a little boy, I used to go fishing with my dad and another guy. And this guy, he'd bring in fish left and right. He'd have a reel here and a reel here. I'd sit down in between him trying to catch fish. And this one take off and he'd catch a fish. That one take off, catch a fish. And here I'd be sitting. I said, would you bait my hook? There must be something about the smell of your hands. He'd bait my hook. He'd throw his out on both sides and he'd catch fish. I finally figured out what the deal was. Every time the fish would bite was when he took a drink of coffee. And I didn't like coffee, so I never caught any fish. But Peter was willing to try. Why? Because he had that one thing. Paul had a single mindset. Remember what Paul said in the Philippians? He said in chapter 1:21, "For to me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain." That is a mindset that is single-minded. He has a focus. The Lord Jesus Christ had a single mind. What did He do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to this world to die for you and for me. In the Philippians, once again, He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When we have the single mind, seeming failure doesn't daunt us. We just get up and go. Paul wrote again in the Philippians, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. Huh? You can't keep a good man down. A just man, what's he going to do? He's going to fall seven times. Probably be more than that, but he falls seven times. And what's it say? And he rises up again. And he rises up again. What's he doing? He is allowing those failures to become stepping stones. He's allowing those things to take him on to the next spot. Why? Because he's got a mindset towards the Lord. But if we have a double mind whereby we're interested in pleasing ourselves as well as pleasing the Lord, this ain't going to work. But when you and I have the mindset, all I want to do is make my God happy. Wow. Oh, we get knocked down, but we get back up. We fall along the side, but we get back up. And what seems like a failure can become then stepping stones. It's interesting, in Luke chapter 5, in referring to Simon once again, and Peter, as the Lord had told him to throw it on the other side, it says, "We've toiled all night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And we find that he came up with a draught of fishes. Failure can lead to fortune. Think about it. Failure can lead us to the place of prayer. When you and I have failed, what do? We come to God and say, "Oh God, help me to come under this thing and to do it." The psalmist, chapter 40, verse 11 and 12 says, "Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, and mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. So I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine hair. Therefore my heart faileth me." What's he doing? He's crying out to God because he's failed. Did God bless him? I think so. Failure can bring us to considering our ways, as it talks about in the book of Haggai. They had failed, and the prophet came and said, "Consider your ways." And it causes us to reevaluate some things. And failure ought to make us more determined. Philippians again says, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What's he saying? I've been in both places. And what's it done? It's made me more determined. I can do that through Christ Jesus. One of my favorite athletes of all time is a man named Michael Jordan. Whatever you think of Michael Jordan, that's whatever. He's a man, but I'll tell you, he had something when it came to playing ball. The guy had no quit. And when the things were down, when things were bad, it was, "Give me the ball." If it was the last minute of the game and he'd been missing shot after shot, "Give me the ball, I'll shoot it again." And most of the time he'd end up starting making them. And won game after game as a result of that. What was it about that? We ought to learn from that. We can have some failures, but what? Get more determined as a result of it. Well, I'll tell you what. I love the kid. I love the young person who, whatever it is they're doing, man, they mess up and they grit their teeth and jump right back in. That's where it's at. And sometimes as adults, we need to remember that. Amen? Yeah. Are there good quitting places? Yeah. About every day. Are there things going to happen? We're going to get knocked down? Sure. Day after day after day. Some of you, I know your story. Some of you, even recently, God hasn't done, but you've been knocked down. All I can say is, so what? Get up. Amen. A righteous man falls seven times and what? Rises again. That's what it says. But the wicked, what? Shall fall into mischief. Wow. What a verse. What a truth we have here. So what's the whole story? Get up. Get up. So the preacher, if I get up, I might get back. I might get knocked down again. You might. Get up again. Just get up again. Well, I might mess it up. So, get up and do it again anyways. Go for it. God has something for you. And let me go back to this. God has some things for some of you, and you know it. And you're afraid to do it. Pride stops you. A double mind stops you. And the things of God's not getting done. It's time to get up and do it. Amen. And don't let those things stop you. Got to go for it. Amen. There's some people God wants you to talk to. You've been afraid to talk to them. Afraid of what they're going to think. Well, they might not like me. They probably don't anyways. They might criticize me. They just might. Chances are they will probably respect you more. We just don't know. And we make all of our little excuses. Just get up again. Amen? And you miss the third note. You can either keep going or you can start over. It don't matter. But you finish the song. Amen? That's the way it is. Father, tonight I pray you might bless work. Oh God, I pray you instill determination in the hearts and minds of all of us. Oh God, we're so prone to quit. We're so prone to just give up. Your word's true, though. And Lord, if we're really saved and we've been made just in the sight of God, we're going to fall. We're going to mess up. We understand that. But God, you want us to get up again. And you're the one that's willing to pick us up. And you're the one that's willing to give us strength when we don't deserve it. God, how we thank you for that. Encourage in the hearts of your people. Strengthen us for that which is ahead. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at tonight. This time, Christina is at the piano. She's going to play. Watch.